Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Vav, Chapter 26. This chapter lists all the divisions of the gatekeepers from the Levi'im. It tells us about the lots they drew to assign where each division stood watch and some of their responsibilities. Verses 4 to 5 mention Oved Edom and his children, whom we have encountered before when we spoke about David's first attempt to transfer the Aron in chapter 13. Our chapter says, Ule Oved Edom Banim Shmaya HaBachor Yehozavad HaSheni Yoach HaShlishi V'Sachar HaRevi'i U'Netan El HaChamishi. And the sons of Oved Edom, Shmaya the firstborn, Yehozavad the second, Yoach the third, and Sachar the fourth, and Netanel the fifth, Amiel HaShishi, Yisachar HaShvi'i, Pu'ultai HaShmini, Ki Berchu Elokim. Amiel the sixth, Yisachar the seventh, Pu'ultai the eighth, for God had blessed him. After listing all of his sons, we see that Hashem has blessed Oved Edom. This is in reference to when the Aron was stationed in his house and he received blessings. Brachot 64a through b elaborates as to how he was blessed. The Gemara asks, what is that blessing with which Oved Edom was blessed? Rav Yehuda Bar Zveda said, this is Chamot and her eight daughters-in-law, each of whom bore six in a single womb, as it is stated, and Oved Edom had sons, Pe'ultai the eighth, and in the continuation of the same verse it is written, for God blessed him, 1 Chronicles 26, 4 through 5. Apparently, these eight children were the blessing. As it is stated, all these were of the sons of Oved Edom. They and their sons and their brethren, able men in strength for the service, 62 of Oved Edom, 1 Chronicles 26, 8. Each of the nine women gave birth to six sons, for a total of 54. If one adds the original eight, there were 62 altogether. Bamidbar Rabbah explains why he is called Oved Edom. Oved, because he worshipped Oved Hashem appropriately, and Edom, because he reddened Ma'adim David's face, who was afraid because of the ark that it shouldn't kill him. Since Oved Edom took care of it properly, Hashem blessed him. After listing all the divisions of the gatekeepers, it tells us how they were assigned in verse 13. Vayapilu goralot k'katon k'gadol levet avotam l'sha'ar v'sha'ar. And they cast lots, like the small like the great, to their father's houses for each gate. Rashi explains, and they cast lots, the small like the great, to their father's houses for each gate. Who will receive this gate, and who will receive this gate? To the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, and so to all the gates in the forecourt. The next several verses lists which specific family received each assignment. An interesting situation arises in verse 14. Vayipol ha-goral mizracha l'shelemayhu uzchariyahu beno yo'etz b'sachel hipilu goralot v'yetze goralot safona. And the lot to the east fell to Shlomaya, and Zechariah his son, a prudent counselor, cast lots, and his lot came out to the north. Why is the son separated from his father? We read in verses 2 to 3 that Shlomaya, called Mishalmaya in those verses, had a total of seven sons. Malbim tells us that there would be six standing at the east and four each to the north and south. The family of Shlomayhu received the lot to the east, and they totaled seven heads, so there would be one extra son. He then took advice, Hityaetz, from his son Zechariah, a prudent counselor, Yoetz. Zechariah took it upon himself to give up his position as one of the six, since he was the firstborn and would not suffer any shame in doing so, as no one could say he was not one of the six as a result of any deficiency. He ended up being assigned through another lot to the north. The division of the gatekeepers ends with verse 19. The Gemara in Tamid 27a notices some mathematical difficulties with the number of divisions mentioned and the number that is actually necessary. Here is how they present the problem and then resolve it. From where are these matters derived? Rav Yehuda of Sura said, and some say it was taught in a Braita, This is derived, as it is written, with regard to the Levites assigned by David to serve as gatekeepers upon the future construction of the temple. Eastward were 6 Levites, northward 4 Levites, southward 4 Levites, and for the Asupim, 2 and 2. For the Parbar, westward, 4 at the causeway, and 2 at the Parbar. This is in 1 Chronicles 26:17-18. The sages say that if these verses are the source for the 21 places in which the Levites keep watch, that is difficult, as these watches enumerated in the verse are 24 in total. Abaye said, "This is what the verse is saying, for the Asupim too, and they are always only 2. It is not uncommon for a verse to repeat a word for emphasis, in this manner, especially at the end of a verse." The Gemara objects, even if 2 locations are removed from the list, according to the verse, there are still 22 watches rather than 21. The Gemara explains, that watch, which was situated at the Parbar, was composed of only 1 watchman, and as for the other Levite mentioned in the verse, it was merely to serve as company that he went and sat with the watchman due to the fact that the Parbar was situated on the outer side and was isolated from the other watches. Starting with verse 20, we see other Levitic assignments, including those in charge of the treasuries. Rashi explains that this includes the money with which sacrifices were purchased for the temple. Malbim explains that they were placed over the treasury because they were trustworthy, as was mentioned in an earlier verse in chapter 9:29, which also gives more details about the things they oversaw. And some of them were appointed over the vessels and over all the vessels of the sanctuary, and over the fine flour, and the wine, and the oil, and the frankincense, and the spices. Verse 24 tells us who oversaw the treasuries. Ushvuel ben Gershom ben Moshe, Nagid al ha'otzarot. And Shevuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe, was the ruler over the treasuries, ruler. Who was Ushvuel, the grandson of Moshe? The Gemara in Bava Batra, 110a, gives a fascinating backstory and explanation which is connected to certain events in the book of Judges, chapters 17 through 18. During this period, a man named Micha, who lived near Mount Ephraim, set up an idol for people to worship. He also created a priesthood filled by Levi'im, not Kohanim. The Navi tells us the main priest was Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh. Compare this to our verse, which also talks of a Gershon, but in between 2 different names. However, if you look at the original text in the Navi of Shoftim, you will see that the Nun of Menashe is smaller than the other letters of the name Menashe. Rashi comments, out of respect for Moshe, a Nun was inserted, thereby changing the name to Menashe. This letter was written suspended to indicate that it was not Menashe, but actually Moshe. With this in mind, we now have 2 of the 3 names matched up. This Gemara will explain the rest. In connection with the Gemara's mention of Yonatan, who served as a priest for Micha, the Gemara quotes additional statements of the sages concerning that episode, describing when the men from the tribe of Dan passed through Micha's house. The verse states, "And they turned aside there and said to him, 'Who brought you here? Halom. And what, ma, are you doing in this place? And what do you have here? Po.'" Judges 18, verse 3. The sages interpret their multiple questions. They said to him, "Do you not come from Moshe, about whom it is written, 'Do not draw close to here?' Halom." Exodus 3, 5. "Do you not come from Moshe, about whom it is written, 'What, ma, is that in your hand?'" Exodus 4, 2. "Do you not come from Moshe, about whom it is written, 'But as for you, stand here, po, with me?'" Deuteronomy 5, 27. "Shall you, a descendant of our teacher Moshe, become a priest for idol worship?" Yonatan said to them, "This is the tradition that I received from the house of my father's father. A person should always hire himself out to idol worship and not require the help of people by receiving charity. And I took this position in order to avoid having to take charity." The Gemara comments, and he, Jonathan, thought that this referred to actual idol worship. But that is not so. That was not the intent of the tradition. Rather, here the term idol worship, literally, strange service, is referring to service, i.e. labor, that is strange, i.e. unsuitable for him. In other words, one should be willing to perform labor that is difficult and humiliating in his eyes, rather than become a recipient of charity. As Rav said to Rav Kahana, his student, skin a carcass in the market and take payment, but do not say, I am a great man and this matter is beneath me. The Gemara continues its discussion of that episode. Later, when King David saw that money was excessively precious to Jonathan, he appointed him as director of the treasuries of the temple. As it is stated, and Shevuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe, was ruler over the treasuries. 1 Chronicles 26:24. The Gemara asks, and was his name really Shevuel? But wasn't his name Jonathan? Rabbi Yochanan says, he is called Shevuel in order to allude to the fact that he repented and returned to God, Shav Lekel, with all his heart. This story illustrates David's brilliance as a leader and his ability to help people to direct their natural inclinations for the good. It also shows his ability to forgive those who have sinned, just as he sought forgiveness for his own transgressions. Thank you for studying together. L'Ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.